On the spot. Dot.
On the spot.
You, it is PG-13 in our theater,
so I had no desire to see it, but honestly it worked out very well.
It was actually originally called God Party. 5 stars.
I'm gonna say 1 star. I will never see it again, and I feel bad for those who spent their money to go see it in the first place.
We've been to the past. We've been to the future. We've been all around the afterlife. And you know, Ted, the best place to be is here. The best time to be is now. And all we can say is, let's rock! Yeah!
'Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Thought on the Spot Movie Reviews. My name is Tommy, and today we're going to be reviewing the film, in case you didn't guess it already, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Bill and Ted came out on August 28th, 2020, and is an adventure comedy music film. The rating is PG-13, and the runtime is 1 hour and 31 minutes. The director is Dean Parisot, who also directed Galaxy Quest and Red 2, just to give you a little bit of background on where he came from. Starring in the film, we have, of course, obviously Keanu Reeves, who plays Ted. He's reprising his role as Ted. You'd recognize Keanu from John Wick, the John Wick films where he plays John Wick, as well as the Matrix films where he plays Neo. We also have Alex Winter, who's, again, reprising his role as Bill, so you'd recognize him from, of course, the previous films. He's mainly a director now, but, I don't know, kind of a fun fact, he was also in The Lost Boys as Marco. We have Kristen Schaal, who plays Kelly. You'd recognize Kristen Schaal mainly by her voice from Bob's Burgers, where she's the voice of Louise Belcher. You'd also recognize her from the TV series Last Man on Earth, where she played Carol Pilbassian. We also have Samara Weaving, who plays Thea, or Tia. We'll go with Tia. You'd recognize Samara from Ready or Not, where she played Grace, as well as the film Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, where she played Penelope. We also have Bridget Lundy Payne, who plays Billy. You'd recognize Bridget from Atypical TV series, where she, or I should say the TV series Atypical, where she plays Casey Gardner. She also played in The Glass Castle as Maureen. We have William Sadler, who plays Death. Of course, you'd recognize William from, as he's reprising his role as the Grim Reaper, or AKA Death. You'd also recognize William from Shawshank Redemption, where he played Haywood, and you know, since we're in the vein of Stephen King, he also played in The Mist as Jim. And then we have Anthony Carrigan, who plays Dennis Caleb McCoy. You'd recognize Anthony from the TV series Barry, where he plays NoHo Hank, and from the Gotham TV series, where he plays Victor Zsasz. So let's talk about the plot of the movie. Now, you know, as we kind of came in, we got to hear actually the end of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where, you know, they play their song. So I did that kind of as a nostalgia factor, but to kind of put your mind in that place, right? So that as we're going through the review, you're kind of, if anything, foreshadowing onto what this movie could carry. So the plot of this film is, once told they would save the universe during a time-traveling adventure, the two would-be rockers from San Dimas, California, find themselves as middle-aged dads still trying to crank out a hit song to fulfill their destiny.
When your wives suggested couples therapy, do you think that this is what they had in mind?
Definitely. I mean, we're a couple of couples, right?
Bill, Ted, enough of the delusions. You didn't time travel, and you didn't go to heaven and hell. Here's a real idea for you. Be role models to your daughters. Get real jobs.
Bill, we've spent our whole life trying to unite the world. And I'm tired, dude.
Ted, we have a destiny to fulfill.
Whoa. Greetings, my excellent friend. We have a problem.
Step forward. A song created by Preston Logan, performed tonight, will save reality as we know it.
Dude, we better write that song now. Or why can't we just go to the future when we have written it?
And take it from ourselves!
Except, won't that be stealing?
Cheers! How is that stealing if we're stealing it from ourselves, dude?
Dude, our dads are totally in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah! We should help them out.
Yeah! No way! How's it going, Bill and Ted?
We're putting together a most extraordinary band.
Hey, you want to be in our band?
Oh. Oh, this is so fantastic.
We're going to go talk to Death.
Is he playing hopscotch by himself?
Ah. Dude, he's cheating. Hey, Death.
Why, if it isn't a wild stallion.
Let's rock!
Be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes.
Dina! Billy!
Dance!
How you doing?
Well, you know, we're dead and we're in hell.
But how you doing?
Good. All right, so that was the trailer for Bill and Ted Face the Music. So let's jump right into the review. I want to start out by saying I was very excited to hear that they were making this sequel, that, you know, to finish up the trilogy. And when it finally came out, I was ecstatic because you had been hearing about it being possibly potentially created for years, and then finally it was happening, and then we finally got a trailer. So of course, you know, the worry with all of this is, you know, will the movie hold up with all the angst of waiting for the release, right? And we kind of talk about that in my review of New Mutants. So if you want to go back and listen to that, you're welcome to. But I will say, let me start by saying this, because as I jump into this review, I feel like it's going to come off very negative, and I want you to know that these are just things that I had that I thought could have been better. So I'm starting off by saying the movie's just as fun as the others. So if you like the movies for the fun and the tongue-in-cheek kind of humor, it's still there. So that's good. So rest assured, you're not losing out there. That being said, the film doesn't really grow either. We're not building so much off the blocks of the first two films, I would say, other than it just remains what it is. I guess what I'm saying in short is, don't go expecting more than what you've gotten from the other two. Expect to walk away from what you've gotten from the other two. And that's it. I was mildly content when it was done. So I think my biggest thing is to say, just don't go into it with high expectations. A lot of people I've noticed are loving the film. I'm actually part of a group that followed the film, and all of them are ecstatic. So I kind of feel like the oil to their water, I guess. But that's why I do these reviews, is because I'm just providing my perspective on the whole thing. So let's start. So one thing I'll say is it was hard to see the franchise continue and not have Rufus, aka George Carlin. That was a big part of Bill and Ted that I really enjoyed, and having him not there kind of, we just knew he wasn't going to be there, so it was an expectation. But that being said, the film kind of prances around this as a side note. I don't want to say it's such a side note that it's almost non-existent, but because he was so big and because he was who he was, you would think with his passing there would be more focus on that. I will tell you this right now. Some things that I will be saying are going to be spoiler-ish. I don't want to try to give away too much, but I will... If you don't want any spoilers, I would say stop listening now and then come back and listen later. So, one thing I think that I kind of hope for, and I think other fans did as well, was that there would be time segmented for Rufus. Especially because he was such a big factor of this, and he was kind of that voice of guidance through things for them, and it was someone that they looked up to. And I will say that you do not get that in the film. It's there's a glimpse. It's kind of talked about. He is in the bigger picture of the story, so I don't want you to think that he doesn't exist at all. But it's more of just an objective, more than it is of him as a person. So that kind of let me down. It is hard at times to see Alex and Keanu still try to portray Bill and Ted at this age. I hate to say it, but although Keanu is a great actor, Alex Winter pulls it off so much better. In fact, there are moments in the film where you're watching Keanu, and you can kind of see in his eyes, there's like this weird it's almost like there's a self-realization where he's asking himself, why did I decide to do this again? I mean, I get it, but I think Keanu's worked so hard on not being that California surfer dude, that his mind has kind of put almost like a blockade in it, because he was typecast as that for quite a while. So it was hard for him to break from that, and I think that he got so cemented in it that although he's still a great actor, you kind of see him step out of the role, like he's almost monkeying around instead of portraying, you know, the actual character. And maybe that's just me, but that's what I got from it, is that he felt it was hokey, where Alex was like 100% in the whole time, and he does it well, which is funny because he's done way less films than Keanu. Maybe Alex is just typecast and that's just who he is. I don't know. I do not agree that Kristen Schaal was a good replacement for Rufus as his daughter or in any respects. She annoys me. She's great as a voice on a cartoon, which she does a couple of, but on Last Man on Earth, I could have strangled her just because she's annoying. And that's what she plays on that show, is an annoying person on purpose, but it comes so easy for her. And to see a role that was portrayed by, you know, George Carlin, that is, he's a funny guy, he's vulgar, he's got some vulgar humor, which is what he was known for, but he didn't carry that onto the screen, and that's what I loved about it. It was almost like this, I'm taking this seriously, and you can't take Kristen Schaal seriously. So some might say, well, what would you have done instead, right? Well, let's keep in mind, Rufus at times was the beacon of hope. He was their moral compass as they moved through their mission. So, I don't know. I think that, because in all honesty, when I see Kristen Schaal playing this role, I think of Lucille Ball, trying to play this role. I mean, it's one and the same. It just doesn't work. So I would have rather seen someone, like if we wanted to do the daughter perspective, I think Sarah Silverman would have been perfect. She can play more serious roles when she needs to, but she's got that background. She's got that vulgar humor. I think even better one up, and this wouldn't have been, had to have been like a whole family thing, because of course we have, you know, Bill and Ted's daughters in the film. Now we have Rufus's daughter in the film, but if we didn't go to that level, I think Dave Chappelle would have been amazing. I think that he could have taken the role seriously. He would have been able to kind of be that voice of reasoning during things. And I mean, right now in these times where, you know, where we need we need a little bit more variety in our movies, I think that it would have helped with that too. Let's put it that way. A lot of respect for Dave Chappelle, and so I think he would have done great for that. Of course he wasn't. We had Kristen Schaal, so we get what we get. The next thing, there's a point in the film where I found myself questioning why it was written the way that it was. What pushes their mission forward in this film? You know, what makes sense? What, I guess where I'm lost on it is, I don't see why that there was such a, there's a big push, right? I get that there's like, it deals with the same idea that we've dealt with before, but in previous versions of the film, I feel like that the story kind of tied into that more succinctly. With this one, it starts out with like a great idea. Like you get the concept of what they're going to try to do, obviously to save the universe. But then we get this weird sidetrack story of, it feels like they're more worried about losing their wives than they are about saving the world. It becomes like more of a wives thing. And I didn't really like that. Plus the daughters, I hate to say it, but I kind of found them annoying. It's like they were cliche replicas of their dads, intentionally. In fact, Bridget Lundy Payne, who plays Billy, who is, you know, Ted's daughter, it's bad. It's bad. It's cliche bad. And I didn't, and so it really broke me out of the film when I was trying to accept it. I just found it annoying. I think they could have come up with a better idea of the daughter's personalities. And you kind of see that in some respects. You see them, instead of being more like instrumental, you find that they're kind of more mixers. But you don't really get that until too late in the film. And that was an opportunity to do that earlier. Plus, they have all this genius about time travel, which is weird because you don't get anywhere in the film where they would have learned that or comprehended that. So it's, I just didn't like them. that's, it falls flat and it's irritating. But the thing is they're a bigger part of the story. So if that's the case, if we wanted the daughters to be bigger parts of the story, I think that we could have seen more of like a bonding thing. So what we get is we see both the fathers and the daughters kind of do their own missions, but there was a missed opportunity to have the fathers and the daughters bond by going on a mission together. Instead, we get two convoluted stories. One of Bill and Ted, like I said, on a real mission trying to save their marriage, and the daughters trying to basically pick up all these great musicians in an attempt to finally create this song that's going to save the universe, right? And I feel like that was lost. Why did we have Bill and... Because there's no... Other than the scene that you see in the trailer where they're in couples counseling, is there really any idea that they're struggling that bad? It's just like, oh, you're here to accept it. And I think that if you're going to bring their daughters into the mix, create that, build that story. And maybe in the lieu of it, they save... I don't know. I just... Okay, so the other thing is, let's talk about the concept of traveling to get these famous singers, right? So you know, they end up grabbing Jimi Hendrix, Louis Armstrong, Ling Lun, and Mozart, and then a cave woman. First of all, this is where the magic could have been in the film. This is the very concept of what we fell in love with in the first place of Bill and Ted, when they go back and grab these different historical facts and then they bring them to the real world. And I think I remember a lot of people saying they should make a sequel where they go back in time and grab all these famous musicians. So this was an opportunity for, you know, the daughters want to help, and they travel back with their fathers trying to do this, and they're coming up with concepts of best artists that they should do. They went with, like I said, Louis Armstrong, Ling Lun, Mozart, which are great, but so first of all, the portion of this film where they're even picking those guys up is almost sped through and truly loses some opportunity to have some way better dialogue. You know, not only that, but like, they could have had artists like Elvis, Johnny Cash, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty. I mean, the list goes on, and had different people portray these, you know, keep it simple, right? Don't get too out of whack, but they also could have just been visitations versus taking them with them. And that would have been fun, and maybe they learn something about each other as they visit each of these musicians. These geniuses that have created music that we still listen to today could have maybe had messages that not only did they carry through to build that bond between them and their daughters, but also would have been a contribution to what they end up doing as this song at the end of the film, right? And I think that would have all tied together, and that would have wrapped it with a perfect bow, but that doesn't happen. And instead, you kind of get, I don't know, you get Louis Armstrong, who overdoes Louis Armstrong. So I feel like that they were almost making fun of him rather than celebrating him. And maybe that's just what I got from it, but it felt drastically overdone, the guy who portrays Louis Armstrong. And I didn't appreciate it. And even there, they didn't really build on it anyway. You don't get any of the, you know, them being in the real world. All of a sudden, it's just this thing that they accept and then move forward. Again, big part of the film that was missed. They just threw it in there to have the time travel, I think, and that was about it. What else did I have? I'm just looking through kind of some of my notes here. Like I said, I know I've said a lot of bad things here, but there is good. We do see our heroes time travel. We get the hilarity from Death that we've had before, as well as a little insight as to some of the history between Death and the band Wild Stallions and what happened there. We get to see them play with time as they kind of run into future versions of themselves. Again, we see that in the trailer. So, you know, and the same all over the top comedy that we're used to seeing. So we're seeing all of those things. That's why I'm saying I still left mildly okay, but these were opportunities that are just like, I felt like that as they were writing, they were kind of trying to put a bunch of ideas together, and it didn't work very well. We get to see a battle of what could be perceived as good versus evil with a little side humor. Like I said, if you're expecting what you got from the first two Bill and Ted's and nothing more, just a fun movie to sit down and enjoy, then it's okay. But when I think of all the opportunity to really close up this trilogy, I think they missed it. I love the end, and it's great when it comes out. It's great when it happens, but it's also something that you can see a mile away, right? So it's no big surprise. You're just waiting to see what that is, what that surprise is. Finally, I was also very disappointed in Anthony Carrigan's role. I knew he was in the film, and I kept waiting for him to appear. When it was first mentioned that he was going to be in the film, many hoped that he would be Death's son, and possibly the biggest villain in the film. That was kind of the concept. Perhaps because Death lost against Bill and Ted, it was his son's mission to kind of regain fame to his father's name, because he was like maybe next to take up the mantle, right? And people were like, dude, he's like, he looks like he could be Death's son. Not in like a mean way, but it just fit. But no, we didn't get that at all. And it does make me wonder if there was a plan for that at some point, but maybe there was a plot hole, because why would Death be trying to, like, is he trying to get revenge on Bill and Ted? And what about that song? I don't know. I don't know. But as it turns out, Anthony Carrigan ends up playing a robot, like a robot that's going to go hunt down Bill and Ted. It's annoying, which, by the way, the robot, when you first see it, you're like, dude, that's a cool robot. And then the acting starts, and it's bad. And the other thing is there's like you feel like that there's like some weird inside joke somewhere about this robot, and maybe I didn't pick it up, but I didn't get it. And I've tried looking up, you'll see what I mean when you see the movie, but they're playing on, there's a big thing about his name. And I don't know if the name's supposed to mean something, but it's not funny. Now here's the thing. This is Anthony Carrigan playing this role, right? This is the guy that we've seen in Barry. We've seen him in Gotham. I honestly, if you don't know it's Anthony Carrigan, I swear it's almost like Nick Swartzen is playing his role. Like it's, I don't know if you know who Nick Swartzen is. Reno 911, the half-naked roller skater kid. That's Nick Swartzen. That's the easiest thing I can think of. He reminds me of Nick Swartzen. I really thought it was him. When I saw the credits and saw that Anthony Carrigan played the robot, I was taken away. Again, there was a lot more opportunity here, better writing, a better story. What's worse is they had all the pieces there, if you think about it. They just put them together the wrong way. I don't think we needed to see the time travel of Bill and Ted seeing future selves trying to steal the song. I feel like that the movie falls flat there, and they should have joined their daughters, like I said, on time traveling to find these artists, right? And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's corny, but I love the part where Abraham Lincoln gets up and says, 40, and he looks at his watch. It's about 7 minutes ago, you know, and he brings it together. I liked that. And we needed something like that, I feel like, in this film. Whether it be great words by a famous musician that we all know, and I don't know what that could have been, but there was an opportunity for that, and we kind of lost it. And then in the end, when they do save the universe, it's a little cheesy how they kind of get everyone involved, in my opinion. Let me just put it this way. Just because I'm handed a guitar doesn't mean I know how to play it, and that's all I'll say about that. So, all that being said, this is why I rated the film 2.5 out of 5. Singers during or after the credits. During the credits, there is a little something for the fans during the credits, so stay tuned for that. There was like a little thing online that fans could contribute to, so this is a little bit of homage to that. And then after the credits, there is something. Nothing big. I don't know. It was dumb. To me, it felt like that they just wanted to put something at the end, and they were like, what if we did this? And that's, yeah. This concludes my review of Bill and Ted Face the Music. 28 minutes. Sorry, guys. Final thoughts. Just going to take another minute here. And I think it's needed. Necessary. Today is August 31st, 2020, and we lost a great actor recently. I'm shocked as much as I'm sure many of you are. Chadwick Boseman passed away on August 28th at the age of 43. He died from colon cancer. You know, what has blown everyone away is that nobody even knew he had cancer. There were photos of him getting small, you know, there was a lot of weight loss, and everyone just thought it was probably he was prepping for an upcoming role. Not to mention this pandemic, you know, celebrities have not been exposed as much as they once were, which is probably a good thing, but, you know, and also Chadwick is not really, from things that I've read, he was more of a private person. He kept his life very private. So I would say he was probably humble, and that's admirable. It's hard to see someone with such great talent be taken away from us so quickly. Not only that, but he was someone that we knew that there was so much more to come, and we won't get to see that. Being a Marvel fan, I had just rewatched Black Panther, and honestly can't think of anyone else that could have or will do better. I truly hope that they don't replace Chadwick, but rather remember him, give acknowledgement of his passing in the storyline, and then maybe identify someone else to take the crown, but still reflecting that who he was and that he'll be missed. As always, I want to thank you all for taking the time to listen. If you are a first-time listener, you can follow and subscribe through anchor.fm/thoughtonthespot. It's through them that we're available through such platforms as Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, and even Apple Podcasts, so we thank them for that. This is another review in the can. So until next time, grab some popcorn and your favorite drink and go out and see a great film with your family, your friends, or just spend some time to yourself. Most importantly, have a great night.